Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Alrighty, AMA as we do every single Wednesday at this time. But prior to that, a hello to Mr. Ben Davis in studio with us for the next 3 hours. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Or?
Hey, it
nailed
works.
It works today,
this
right?
This time of the year, it works.
It works today. And yes. Also, happy Hanukkah to you.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, and happy everything to everybody. All right, John, we do AMA every Wednesday at this time.
Ask Me Anything's brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
Seltzer, what do people want to know today?
Right.
I'm ready to be an answer provider.
Oh, yeah, sure. All right.
That's not always your MO.
It's never the MO.
Well, settle down.
Rarely. All right. You just mentioned Christmas. Let's start with this. GoBirds86 asks, what is the most underrated favorite Christmas present you've ever received?
Oh, boy.
Giver.
Well, how
guy.
Can something be underrated and your favorite at the same time? I don't even know what to make of that. It's
well,
underrated,
he's saying,
but it's my
like,
favorite.
Not like the biggest present you ever get.
You
it's not
expecting
like, a, oh, I got a,
it.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't expecting anything. I was 4 years old.
I think it's more like, not like, oh, I got a video game system that was so cool. It's, oh, I got this little thing that I didn't think was that cool and ended up being amazing.
My answer is Ted.
Oh, you're
my stuffed
bear.
Animal.
So that should have been your first answer anyway. You still have it.
I do. So I love it, and it's Ted, and it's my buddy. Yeah, my stuffed animal Ted when I was 0 years old. I was like 8 months old. Ted
came
into my life.
I don't know if Ted's underrated, though. I mean, you still
maybe
have
not.
Him.
Well, I don't have underrated then.
All right, answer giver. Great
bad
job.
Bad question. Underrated, bad question.
Your childhood
underrated and favorite?
Teddy
bear? It's incongruent.
Your childhood teddy bear.
Still
is
have
your
it.
Answer?
Still have it, John.
We know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a loser thing.
Ted and still. Dog.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, you carry it around, you sleep with it?
No, but it's...
Only on special occasions.
Why are you bragging that you still have it? That's weird.
Because I would never get rid of Ted or Dog.
Well, what? Oh, that's
Dog?
Dog was when I was born, and Ted was my
dog?
First Christmas.
Bad
dog
names.
Dog and Ted.
Dog.
Dick Cameron.
Clever job there.
Names.
Horrendous. What's your answer to the question?
They're horrendous names.
Do you have an answer here?
All right, what is it? What am I being
underrated
asked?
And great? Something like that.
Christmas present.
Underrated, great Christmas presents. My son got me an automatic knife that was very discreet. It was, you press the button, click. I don't know how he got it. It might be illegal that I have it. My son, I thought it was the coolest gift ever. He got it in a different place. He got it back to me somehow. And I love him so much
to begin with. Thing you're just talking
about. Yeah, no. Thank you. Thank you, son. I hope I'm not in trouble.
All right. Yeah, let's
very nice.
What do you use it for?
It just sits on my desk in my room.
And I thought it was like a cooking knife,
I'll open things. Like time of year, I'll open boxes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just to feel cool.
Lots of times.
Feel cool.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, question from the text line. Joe, you haven't mentioned your book in a while. Any updates?
Yeah, I got it to the publisher. So me and a publisher have aligned, and it'll come out in 2025. I mean, it's in their hands now, the editor. And I'm excited about it.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, it's actually going to happen. Like this.
Go to camera author.
For the second time. But for the first time with a real publisher. Not that self-publishing nonsense I did years ago and the book went nowhere. No, it'll be probably summer 2025. Exact date to be determined. Hopefully August or September. And I'm excited about it. I'll tell you all about it when we get closer.
All right.
It's actually going to happen.
We'll see.
And I would encourage people to buy it. But, you know, that's just
okay.
me.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Buy my book.
Do just you me. Think we could book you to promote it?
Oh, you know what? You that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
For pay, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
If you pay me to be on this show, I will promote the book.
I think you're already being paid to be on the show. Yeah. One more. Richie, this one's for you from Master Cliggs.
Yeah.
Says, Richie, my buddy reminded me of a concert we went to at the TLA close to 20 years ago where we moshed with you. The band was called Wolf Mother. We were in high school at the time. You had long hair then. Do you remember?
Of course. Unbelievable.
Nice.
No bassist.
Wolf Mother.
The bassist, the guy who should be playing bass, actually makes the bass line on a keyboard that is like a rock keyboard that he puts in front of. Anyway, he's amazing. That band was amazing. Where did Wolf Mother go? Yes, I remember that show. I got a sign from that show that hangs on my son's wall to this day.
Wow, that's cool.
I loved it. Yeah, I remember it fondly.
Look at you. All right.
Wolf Mother. Do you guys remember this band?
No.
It was so...
No.
Never heard of it in my life. Never heard of it in my life.
It was right around 2000...
Do you remember this band that had one
2007?
Album?
2007. It sounded like Led Zeppelin. It sounded like Led Zeppelin. They were from Down Under. And it was... just check it out. It was, man,
that's
so
a compliment.
Great.
All right.
But they disappeared. I'm not sure why.
How about that? All right. AMA, with that, we shut it down. All right, your chance to get into the conversation today, 215-592-9494. Ben joining us for the next couple hours. Ben, you heard his first hour talking about underrated, under-discussed aspect of this football team.
Mm-hmm.
What hits you there? Because there's so much that has led to this greatness. What do you think hasn't maybe gotten enough credit?
I know he's been talked about a lot, but Jalen Carter is a difference maker. I mean, this guy he's all over the place.
He is all over the place. He could be the defensive player of the year.
He could be.
I don't know if, John, he probably won't get it, right? He just probably won't. But maybe he deserves it. I mean, they're number one in defense. Maybe he deserves it.
It's hard to say.
I mean, it's not going to Parsons this year. Let's talk about the great guys.
Chris
Jones.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt,
Chris Jones. Who else are we even talking about?
Quinyon, obviously.
But
well,
Quinn, yes.
I don't know.
I really don't. I'm not sure.
But it's so new, this
Zach
idea.
Zach Bond?
I mean, Chris Jones is a guy that everyone knows that offenses are going to have to plan for him.
Yeah.
This is new. You know, this idea that Jalen Carter is the next big name, this is a fresh idea in the NFL. He could very well, you know, he has burst onto the scene officially.
No question.
And for that reason, he could get player of the year in some capacity. He should get player of the year in some capacity because he does, at the very core, he's the reason why there's single blocking everywhere else.
Hey, James, do me a favor, and we'll get to this next segment. Look up sack leaders this year. I'm just curious if anyone's tracking toward 15, 18, 19, 20, because stuff like that can play a part. It helps that a guy like Parsons has been injured this year, and obviously their team is down. All right, well, look, good morning to you on a great Wednesday morning. You know, we're a week away from Christmas, Hanukkah coming up, the Super Bowl coming up, Eagles might be in it. It's a great time of the year, and obviously wonderful to be with you. You can join us, 215-592-9494. So Sirianni and Brandon Graham both joined us yesterday. Some of what they said, this is a hard thing to talk over, man. I don't know what to... All right. Even Ben Davis is rocking out over there. I wouldn't say they sound like Led Zeppelin.
I was going to say the same thing.
Right?
That's not even the same.
No.
No.
Oh, I know this song.
I do too. This song sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I do not hate it. I have to say, I kind of dig it.
I'm pretty sure I've heard this before.
They're awesome.
I've 100% heard this.
Definitely in a movie.
I think
something.
The guy's voice sounds a little bit like Plant, but the actual music
doesn't
sound.
He kind of sounds like the LCD Sound System
guy. The thing that's amazing.
James Murphy. Yeah.
He's playing the lead guitar and singing. Like it's
good for him.
He sounds
incredible.
A lot like the LCD
and
guy.
He's got a guy playing the keyboards in front of him instead of the bass, and you got a guy playing drums behind it all. It's a weird setup. They were so talented. They have this album, and then they just disappeared.
Well,
Wolf
yeah.
Mother.
All right. Yeah. All right, so look, a lot today on the Eagles. Also on the Phils. You know, we're talking about what position changes should be considered in order to try to charge this squad up. I advocate for any number of these guys to go to the outfield. And by the way, let me just say this. It doesn't have to be an everyday thing. Like, when I talk exactly. about Schwarber in left field, maybe it's 65 games. Maybe it's 80 games. You know, and I could sign a stick that's a DH some days and plays this spot. Like, I didn't like last year. They got into a spot. Trey had to be the shortstop. Bryce had to be the... No, I get early he had to be the first baseman. He was coming back from a major injury. I did not like that Schwarber had to be the DH the whole year. I didn't like that. And we know that it would open up who they can trade for and who they can sign if they could sign a first baseman or right fielder or center fielder or left fielder. Like, it would open up the whole shortstop. Sure. Anyway, all right, so where you stand on that, and also aspects of the Eagles that are perhaps underrated with this greatness going on. Let's go to the phones. We'll get to BG and Sirianni soon, some of what they said. Plus, Ross Tucker joins us in 10 minutes.
The song is from The Hangover.
Really?
Ah, that's why.
My buddy Mike McArdle just sent me a text.
What part? I didn't think Malvern Prep was smart enough to know that off the top of your head.
Wow.
I should have said smart. That makes... Do you think I'd lose in we'd lose in ratings if I ripped Malvern Prep, Ben? Because you got a couple people out there.
No, you would not lose in ratings.
Oh, your people are too dumb to recognize what
wow.
I just said?
No.
Look at Ben Davis. We're just Malvern Prep. Ben Davis calling his own school dumb.
We're just above you.
Oh, okay.
Flat out.
Okay. Yeah, right there, tough guy. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. James, is Temple ever going to win again? I mean, I could just take a haymaker at all sorts of schools. They ever going to win anything again?
In basketball?
Any sport. Football, no. Basketball?
No. When do we ever win anything to begin with?
John Chaney's years. I mean, at least the Elite Eight.
We didn't win
the
title.
You didn't win a title, but I mean, you were in the Elite Eight five times.
Hold on. What is the root of all this? Is it that Fairfield sucks at everything?
Well, I was thinking more from
that why?
It was more of
is
a
that why
well,
you
the
feel
thing.
The need to put others down?
I like how you get to cherry pick at one of your, 15 high schools. Right. It's great. It's like, what about the other ones? How about that, huh?
Yeah, we don't even have at Fairfield. We don't even have a football team anymore, and we haven't made the tournament since 1997.
You have a great beach,
and you're ripping
Temple. Wow. Oh, you have a great beach.
Dude, you might be compensating the camera.
That's why we have SantaCon. Just saying. Just putting that out there. And the Fairfield people that know, they know.
Sounds like a big deal.
It's a newer thing. In my years, we had Clam Jam. Now we got this thing called SantaCon. And Seltzer, I'm taking off next year for SantaCon.
Oh, good.
All right? I won't be here.
You can dress up,
it's
do the whole
must
thing.
Go.
Something like that. All right, let's go to the phones. Gary in Whitehall. Gary, good morning.
Morning, everybody. How you doing today?
Doing great, Gary.
I tell you, let me get into Phillies first before I get to the Eagles.
Sure.
Maybe it's just because you're seeing some moves made by teams that we are going to be chasing, and the Phillies just basically sitting on their hands. Maybe it's just anticipation that we're waiting for that domino to fall and nothing's happening. You get there was a trade proposal for this, a trade proposal for that. What is actually going on? Is it actually ownership holding them back, saying
maybe
is there a certain number that they don't want to go over, or
Gary, I think that's an unfair label to put on the Phils. I mean, look, they didn't sign a guy that made $700 million. They've signed multiple guys that make hundreds of millions. Two guys that make $300 million. You know, last year they recommitted to Nola and Wheeler. I don't have concern that the Phillies won't continue to spend. I think the problem is that there's a logjam at spots. And that's part of why I'm talking about, and we're talking about maybe some guys should move elsewhere, different positions, because it's just not like if Bohm doesn't get traded and no one changes positions, there is other than center fielder, there's nowhere to add. I mean, you have all these high priced guys under contract, so there's a logjam. That's why we're trying to figure out how do you unjam the logjam.
I like the move for Turner to go to center field, and then you could put Bryce and Stott at shortstop where he belongs.
You could do that also. You could sign. That's right. You could sign a second baseman.
Right.
I mean, think of it this way: they went to Game 6 of the World Series with Bryce and Stott playing short and Kyle Schwarber playing left. I don't subscribe to the notion that it's an impossibility. Mm-hmm. I just don't subscribe to that.
Okay. Yeah. But my Eagles thing. Now you're talking about what, underrated?
Yeah, what's been under-discussed this year, Gary?
Under-discussed? How about the first-round left tackle bust, who's being a dominant right guard?
Yeah, Becton. That's a good answer, man. Becton has been way better than anyone could have imagined, particularly the Jets. Hey, Gary, give me a great answer here, my man. What is a, you know, smaller level truth that you'd like to know?
Why does everybody have an appendix if we don't really need it?
Well, I think we know that answer. Doesn't it come
back
from the old days?
Yeah.
We know that answer.
Has it evolved out of us or whatever?
Right. Like the Wilt answer, we don't know. Let me ask you a question. Ben, if Wilt didn't get to 20,000, is it like 17,243? Like what do you, gut feeling, Wilt's number, what was it?
Gut feeling. Pick a number.
Yeah, for all the research I've done.
Was it 16,669?
You clearly have not thought about this as much as Joe has.
Was it 15,559?
Was
it 18,889?
What if it's 1,000?
So
yeah, what if it's like 1,000 or 2,000?
That's like, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Joe, here's what I'm
saying. It's still an absurd number, yeah.
Oh, but he could do it.
Everybody exaggerates.
You know what I just said, right?
Yes. I get it, Joe.
I'm sorry.
I do get it.
I saw the opening.
You took it.
As he apparently did as well. All right, good morning to you. 215-592.
As we digress.
He probably didn't see it. I mean, more often than not. Let's be honest. The odds are...
Oh, for the love of God. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni because, you know, we talked to Sirianni on the program fairly late in the show yesterday, covered a lot of ground, one of which, of course, was the last week thing, you know, which was a thing, no doubt, last week. Here's Nick Sirianni on how he handled it all. Nick, was last week tough for you or not?
You know, again, like last week, there obviously, we talked about this, like, you know, there was, you know, some outside noise as we saw. And, you know, what our what I saw that after, and, you know, obviously we kind of created it, right? But after we kind of addressed it and went through it, it was kind of a, you know, it was just kind of non-issue for us anymore. We just went back to work. And again, I just have so much respect for these guys and the resiliency that they have and the, you know, no matter what it is, they're locked in, they're focused, and they're ready to go. And I think, again, I know, you know, again, you guys only get to see a little bit part of this, but that story lasted for the week of for the outside world. But for us, it was a, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say it didn't. You know, we talked about it, we spent some time on it. But it lasted one and a half days, and then we had moved on.
Great work by Sirianni. Day and a half. Take care of it. You know, John, you referenced earlier, and if you're just joining us, we're talking a lot today about underrated aspects of this Eagles team, perhaps under-discussed. And John kind of led it off today talking about their physical toughness, which is very true. John, they also seem to have great mental toughness. And that's the thing, you know, Sirianni, when he joined the Eagles, you know, 4 years ago, dog mentality. And he got old to hear. But what I think he was basically just saying is just be mentally tough. Be resilient. If something goes bad, be ready to bounce back quick. And, John, they seem to have that propensity, which is a great trait.
It's what you need.
It's a huge trait.
And I don't want to jinx anything. Okay. I don't want to speak out of turn, say that they are something they are not.
Take a shot.
No, but they showed us that they are out physicaling the most physical teams in the NFL.
That's right.
You know, the NFL prides itself. I feel proud as a former player when I think of the way the AFC North plays football. I really do. And we dominated that division physically this season.
There are two heavyweights in particular. Yeah, it was really the Ravens and the Steelers.
It didn't feel like as big a deal against the Bengals because they're so disheveled this year. But
their offense is still very good. The Bengals,
yeah, all right, they are. But
just saying, you can give
the
give
Ravens.
Credit.
It feels like a real accomplishment, and they do intimidate people with good reason because they are tough physically and mentally, and they're so talented. And we beat them at their own game, and then we turned around and took the path of least resistance against the Steelers defense, but meantime struck them. Like, we hit We out-hit the Pittsburgh Steelers. We out-tackled the Pittsburgh Steelers. We out-toughed the Pittsburgh Steelers. That says so much about the way this team is constructed, the way they're coached, the way they want. I love the stories that we're getting about the team cheering when they don't have a victory Monday because they want to get in there and they want to do work with their teammates. That's why this team continues to win. I am a little bit weirded out by these last three games.
In what way?
Yeah, they're division games.
The next three, you mean?
These next three games, gotcha. Yes. I'm a little bit weirded out by these next three games because I say to you every year, weird stuff happens this time of year. Always the strangest losses occur. You'd never expect them. We know, just like this team knows, you know, there's a season that's coming up, and it's the postseason, and it's really important. And we all feel like they're kind of timing it up just right to where they're about to be playing their best football. But what about these last three games here? You know, these last three games.
Don't you really separate them, though? It's this one and then the next two. I mean, Washington's on a totally different level than Dallas. And I'm not even saying Washington's that great. But well, if the Eagles get by Washington, I'll be shocked if the Eagles lose at home with everything on the line to Dallas or the Giants.
I would be shocked also if they
lose. You're just saying, be aware it could happen.
Stuff happens.
No, that's fair. It's fair. All right, Ross Tucker joins us in just a moment. Part of that physical toughness that John has referenced many times here comes from Jalen Carter. We talked earlier about, you know, he could win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know if he will in year two, but he could. I asked James to look up who's the sack leaders, because a lot of times that's who you're competing against for that kind of award. James, who's up there this year?
Yeah, no one going crazy this year. Trey Hendrickson is at 12.5 sacks, leads the NFL. TJ Watt has 11.5. Danielle Hunter has 12. But I looked up the Defensive Player of the Year odds.
Yep.
And not looking good for Jalen Carter.
Really?
He's not even listed. So TJ Watt's the favorite at -160. Patrick Surtain is second at +340. Nick Benito is third. Will Anderson, Jonathan Grenard. The only Eagle who is on the list, believe it or not, Zach Bond at +4,200 has better odds than Jalen Carter.
All right, well, let's talk to Ross Tucker. That certainly seems like a ridiculous oversight by, I don't want to say the voters because they haven't voted yet, but odds makers as they perceive what the voters will do. Ross joins us every single Wednesday at this time for an entire hour. And he, of course, the Ross Report and Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Ross, good morning to you, bud.
Good morning. You know what's interesting, Joe, about what you just said about Jalen Carter? The reason why he's not higher and Seltzer gave the odds is because of statistics, which is weird because Quinyon Mitchell is right now the odds-on favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he has, like, no statistics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the voters or whoever sets the odds, they're doing a good job of understanding what Quinyon's doing. There are some advanced stats now where they can talk about, you know, yards he's allowed or catches when he's in the closest defender, whatever.
Yep.
But you watch Jalen Carter and the amount of times that he is doubled and the havoc that he wreaks. And I got to say something. I know Sirianni was mad at him and he should not have done what he did on the punt, right?
Yep.
He should not have done the head slap to Cam Hayward's brother and just totally obliterate him. But can I just say that?
You're going to say that's part of winning a game, right? That you inflict that pain?
I'm not going to say that's part of winning a game. I'm going to say I'm not afraid to admit that there's part of that that I absolutely love. I love that he has that in him, okay?
Yep.
And the fact, look, we don't want to have dumb penalties. They could have called it on the punt. It could have been really bad for the Eagles.
Sure.
You can't do dumb stuff like that, okay?
Yep.
But the fact that he has that junkyard dog in him, the fact that he's not out there to just play football, he wants to beat your you-know-what.
Yep.
I absolutely love that kid. I love watching him play football. It is scary at times how much he reminds me of Jerome Brown. I think they're from the same area of South Florida. They both have that nasty in them. And I there are plays when I go back and rewatch it, I just watched Jalen Carter. You know why? He gets double teamed so often. And I was a guy that did a lot of double teaming as a center guard. A lot of times, those guys, they more or less give up, right? Like, they know, like, okay, I'm not getting there. They're doubling me. Not Jalen Carter. Like, I would almost tell him, dude, you get a chill on some of these double teams. Not him. When he's double teamed, he takes it personally, and he tries to beat the piss out of both guys.
Sure. I mean, well, John, what a joke that he's that low in the odds. I mean, what a, because here's
the
thing.
I don't understand. It's the kind of thing where he just needs more years under his belt.
I think
in
that's
the
what
limelight.
It is.
Yep. People just aren't accustomed to his greatness. They haven't seen it. It's too early. He's too young.
It's a shame, though.
But and he is great. He will garner all sorts of wonderful accolades. It's just people don't know yet. Hey, Ross, I've been impressed with Nolan Smith's sort of transformation this year from non-existent in my mind at times for stretches into, like, we really depend on him being out there and making plays. And how much has Nolan Smith improved in your eyes this year?
Quite a bit. Now, I will say the guy he went against and had success with Sunday, the right tackle for the Steelers, Broderick Jones, he's bad.
Okay, that helps a lot.
I'm just giving context. He's a bad player. Yeah. He should not be starting. He's starting. He was
a
first-round pick.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick by the Steelers. I mean, John, you'll appreciate this. There are plays where they were sliding to the right, and they were chipping. So he had inside help with the guard sliding to him, and they had the back chipping the outside armpit. I mean, he's bad. That was a bad pick. He's only starting because somebody for the Steelers got hurt. And by the way, Broderick Jones and Nolan Smith played together at Georgia. I think everybody played at Georgia. Nolan Smith, I agree with you. He played by far the most snaps of the Eagles on Sunday at the edge rusher. So here's what you have with him, right? He is high effort, high energy. So what that means is he is a very high floor. Like, at a minimum, he's going to get the hustle sacks. He's going to chase plays down from behind. He's going to do all those things, and he can run. What he's figuring out, and this is now, you know, towards the end of year two, as he's getting more snaps, by the way, horrendous job by them not playing him more last year. Horrendous, okay? He would be much further along now if they had played him more last year. Not sure what the D coordinators were doing last year. But now he's starting to put moves together. He's starting to have a plan. You know, a lot of defensive line, when you're in college, is like Jordan Davis, all these guys, you're just a physical phenom, and these guys can't block you. Well, you get to the NFL, they can block you. So you have to figure out.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
out a plan. You have to understand what the offense is doing. Are they doubling me? Are they sliding? Does he have chip help? Is it one-on-one? What's his weakness? I feel like Nolan Smith is starting to get it. He's starting to have a plan. And that happens with young D linemen.
Ross Tucker with us, of course. Ben Davis as well. A lot of Phillies and Eagles. They also will get to what Brandon Graham said yesterday about, is it possible that he plays in the Super Bowl this year if they make it? We'll get to that shortly. Scott and King of Prussia right now. Scott, good morning.
Greetings, team. Good morning.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, I called to talk some Phillies, and specifically a name that came up yesterday, John Vukovich, and I think that's what the team's lacking. But before that, Joe, I noticed that you're doing some engagement ring ads. And back when you guys were on the midday,
here we go. Okay, ask your question.
We didn't really know if Amy was real, and your
right,
coworkers
Scott.
Didn't. It took a long time.
I'm but still now, not sure she's moved, real, but go ahead.
Now that we've moved forward, you're doing the morning show. You're established. You're in the limelight, Joe. Do you think maybe we could have Amy on air for some questions, little question and answer session? Mm. What do you think?
You mean about the relationship itself?
Okay, here's my official response to you. You ready?
Don't go there with me.
No, don't do it, man. No, maybe at some point. Maybe
yeah, like almost like a summer of Joe.
We have so many,
wouldn't that be nice?
We have so
Let's just
many,
focus
so
in on
questions.
Him and his relationship.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
Absolutely. What you talking about, Willis?
Listen. I'm open-minded to it, Scott. Maybe. I'll give you an official maybe. You know what the beauty of a maybe is? It leaves hope out there when really not.
Yeah,
the door might not be open at all.
No, everybody knows growing up when your mom said maybe, that meant no.
100% real.
Right.
I will. Here's my other classic
Let
line,
me
Scott.
Think
I'll,
about
I'll,
it.
I'll, take, yes. I'll, okay. I'll take it under advisement.
All right, so
you're officially under advisement.
Because we have tons of questions.
I know you do.
Tons of questions. All right. Pivoting to the Phillies, one of the things it seems like they're lacking is that John Vukovich voice, the person that will go up to you and just tell you exactly how it is and how it should be. It seems like nobody's willing to do that with Trey Turner. And I'm wondering, Ben, you're close to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the John Vukovich voice down there right now? And it seems like to me they're lacking one, and it seems like nobody's willing to do what needs to be done.
Interesting question, Scott. Very interesting. Ben, what do you make of it?
I would say Kyle Schwarber, 100%. And I 100% Kyle Schwarber. I love that guy.
But let me ask you this, Ben. Would Schwarber pay Turner a visit, either in person or over the phone, this offseason? If Schwarber actually believes the team can be better with Trey in center field, would Schwarber dig into that bag and say, Trey, I'm calling you up, man, to tell you I love you and Merry Christmas, but also, like, we need you to move to center so Dombrowski can sign a shortstop? Because I doubt he would do that.
If there's anyone that could do it, it would be Kyle Schwarber.
But having said that,
this modern-day athlete, it's off the table.
Yeah, see,
you
that bothers me.
You can't talk to them like that anymore. You can't talk to them.
But that what do you mean? Talk to them like what? It sounds like that was sensible.
Keeping it real.
It sounds like that was honest.
They're not going to ask him to play a different position.
God, it drives me bananas.
Right.
It does.
It's just, it's the way it is.
Yeah, and especially for $300 million, I need it to be the way I say it is. That's just, if I'm the owner, if I'm the GM.
No, but Joe, the way that Ben's saying it, Trey's got the $300 million. Be like, nah.
No, I get it.
Which is ridiculous.
I get it. Listen, guys, the NBA yesterday just put in all sorts of ridiculous, here's how we're going to do the All-Star game.
Oh, can't
the guys
wait
just,
for that.
Yeah, but the guys weren't trying. They don't try at all, the regular All-Star game. Scott, give me an answer here. What is a simple truth you'd like to know?
Real quick before then, I just want to say that if you watch Point Break, you know when Bodie's going out to the waves?
At the very end, are you talking about?
Yeah. That's going to be Bohm. Bohm's on that board. He's gone. He's going out to the waves.
Oh,
all right?
One last surf.
So yeah. How many people are in the studio right now? How many hands?
Six.
Five? All right, six. Here's the question.
Plus Wagner.
Here's the question I want to know the answer to. And hands up. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Hands up for the chicken.
Well, first off, hands up don't work too well on radio.
Well,
you know, the verbal thing is normally the better way to go. All right, but Scott, an interesting answer. James, is that too deep for our simple truth that we've been looking for? That's too deep.
Yeah, we'll get to an evolution and all that.
I mean, I don't need that nonsense here.
Yeah, it's a simple question that actually has a deep answer.
Yeah, I can't give me that nonsense. I'm talking enough of that. All right, but Scott, we appreciate the call as always. Hey, Ross, are the Lions in deep trouble? Deep trouble.
Yeah, they are. And listen, from an Eagles perspective, it's great. From a football perspective and like a humanity perspective, I really think it stinks. I mean, they've never been to a Super Bowl. This was supposed to be the year, and I've never seen anything like it. They have 13 guys on defense on IR. They basically have almost an entire starting defense on IR, including by far their two best defensive linemen. They just lost Carlton Davis, who was their best corner. I'm not sure how many of these guys they're getting back. I know they are getting back my buddy Alex Anzalone, who's from down the road in Wyomissing, where I'm from. He's their captain middle linebacker. He'll be back. I don't think they're getting very many of these guys back.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing.
Isn't it eight of their defensive starters? I heard it's eight.
Yeah, well, now they also lost.
That
sounds right.
That's outrageous.
And David Montgomery is now. He's gone.
And now David Montgomery is a big one. David Montgomery is a really big one because they're going to have to outscore people. And, you know, you're going to need both running backs to do it. And now you lose Montgomery, who's like a fantastic player and clearly a guy that John would be a favorite of. I mean, let's put it this way, Joe. You know I do on Tuesdays power rankings on my podcast. They were one almost like for like the last month or so. I dropped them down to four now. I mean, it's a big difference.
Yeah, no, look, we've seen a couple teams every once in a while. Like, I remember that there was a Cardinals team one year. There was like 10-1 and Carson Palmer went down. And then the next quarterback went down. And then they got to the playoffs. They had no shot. They were on third string quarterback. They had a great record. They had no shot. So it happens sometimes. All right, let's listen to Sirianni. Obviously, the one seed is squarely on the table. Now, the Eagles don't control their own destiny. But we asked Nick yesterday about the one seed and his messaging to the team. Nick, do you message to the guys this week? Will you message the one seed reality? I mean, do you even spend 10 seconds on we want the one seed, or do you not even address that?
Not even a little bit. Our sole focus is control what we can control, and what we can control is our game. Like, you know, and that's not to say that fans and you guys shouldn't talk about it all the time. I know you guys will.
Yeah.
But our focus is what can we control? If we keep winning and you know, if we win this week, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, but we can't focus on that. Like, the more you focus on things that you can't control, like the one seed or playing the Giants or the Cowboys, anybody other than the Washington, is the less you're going to focus on the things that you can control that have a direct effect of if you win or lose this week. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think John Wooden, when I read one of his books, he talked a lot about that. The more you think about the things that you can't control, the less you're going to be able to focus on the things that you can.
I think it's wise. I think it's very wise by Sirianni. And here's another element of it that I like. He didn't address, but there's a psychology to it that I think works in this case. The Eagles could go 3-0 and not get the one seed. That's a real viable possibility. Right. And you don't want to put in the guys' minds, if you have to play that game on the road after they've heard you talking for a month about, we really hope to have the game here. We really hope to have the game here. It really matters to have the game here. And then late January, you got to play the game in Detroit or Minnesota.
Oh, no big deal. It's fine, guys. We always wanted to be on the road anyway, right?
Yeah, like, something's off there. So I think Sirianni's approach is, look, I think his approach in general to handle what you can handle in front of you is a great approach. I mean, it's what Malcolm Jenkins used to say, be where your feet are. Where your feet are. Like, handle what you can handle right now. Not three weeks ago, not 3 weeks later, right now.
It's so tricky. Keeping the team focused on what matters, which is, you know, right now these games still matter. We do need to win these games if we want to get that one seed.
Yeah.
So But you know the focus is divided to some degree.
Well, not necessarily. Ours can be, but that doesn't mean theirs is divided.
Well, I'm saying
I don't think they're thinking of the Giants game
yet. It's hard to keep the focus. When you think about the other teams we're competing against, the Lions in the NFC, the sure. Lions and the Vikings,
yep.
remember, the last game of the season, they're playing each other.
That's right.
So remember, that is a huge factor. That's an automatic L for one of those teams. One of the teams that we are competing against for that top seed.
Yeah.
Automatic W for the other
tie.
One. Though.
They could lose. Tie also.
But guys, let me give you a scenario. Well, you're not going to tie. Let me give you a scenario we haven't talked about yet that I think is in play. If Minnesota loses one game in the next two, won't they have nothing to play for against Detroit?
No, they could still win the division. If they tie, I think if they tie Detroit, they win the division.
They're behind them right now.
Yeah, but they would have it's because they lost the first time to them. If they win,
we'd have to look into that. Who would win that tiebreaker? I mean, my
Detroit
concern
holds the tiebreaker against both.
I'm sorry, say it again.
They do. Yeah, that's what I thought I'd read yesterday.
Well, they currently
the Lions and Vikings have the tiebreaker over the Eagles.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
Ross, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if Minnesota enters that game a game behind Detroit. Do they rest their starters because even if they win, they're the five seed? I don't know. I'm just saying that would be a fiasco for the Eagles.
Yeah, that would be like that gets in the second and third tiebreaker. So I'm not right. I'm not sure. It's a good question. You're assuming that they each win the next two games.
No, if Minnesota were to lose
right. Minnesota
one,
loses one
and Detroit wins both.
Wins
I'm
both.
Just saying it's something to keep in mind. All right, go ahead, Ross. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the thing that's interesting to me right now, the positive for the Eagles is that the Lions are all beat up.
Yeah.
The negative for the Eagles is that the teams that are going to be seeded 3 through 6, that they all have a chance. I mean, those 3, 6, 4, 5 games are going to be battles. Have you seen what the Bucks have done the last couple games?
Yeah, like, the Bucks make
the,
me nervous.
The Bucks against the Packers is what it would be right now. That would be a war. And the Rams, with Stafford and McVay and those receivers, the Rams against the Vikings. My point is, Joe, like all of those teams have a puncher's chance. The only team that I'd have a tough time picturing winning multiple playoff games is probably the Commanders. Mm-hmm. That would surprise me. But what's changed now is while the Lions aren't quite as formidable, the Bucks or the Rams, anybody that would come into Philadelphia, they're not going to be afraid, and they're going to have the type of quarterback that if he gets hot could give the Eagles a major issue.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Heaviest, obviously, on the Eagles today, but also mixing in some Phils as well. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red Tag Bonus Cash is back at Armin Chevrolet. In stock now, the 3-row Chevy Traverse. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question. We're trying to figure out how the Phils can get configured to be the best team they can be. So we ask, should some guys move positions? We asked this question, which player moving to the outfield would most help the Phillies be a better team? Is it Bryce back to right? Is it Trey to center? Or is it Schwarber to left? Obviously, with any of these scenarios or a combination of them, you could then sign or trade for players at different positions. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines. Speaking of the phone lines, something I'm curious for people to weigh in on, because we haven't even addressed it ourselves in the now 2 weeks or so this has been going on. What is going on with the drones? Like, I'm
surprised no one said that as an answer. I don't know if it counts as like a big picture.
It might be too big picture.
We don't know. Yeah. That's a problem.
You know what surprises
what
me?
What is it,
Joe?
Ross? What?
Well, let me just say this, okay? Maybe not. Like, have they gotten into like, they haven't really gotten into Pennsylvania or downtown or near Philly yet,
yes,
right?
They have.
A little bit. Someone told me yesterday, I forget who I was talking to. Someone told me, I can't remember, but it was somewhere around here. Someone.
Because my point is, if the further west they go, the closer they go to where I grew up, I know people that'll shoot them out of the sky without any hesitation
Ben
whatsoever.
Ben will shoot them out of the sky. We know someone right here.
Yeah, Ben Davis.
So, believe it.
And one of the complications, Ross, I know.
Believe it.
The government hasn't said much, but one thing they've said is don't shoot them out of the sky and don't point a laser beam at them because you can misconstrue it for what you think is a drone, and it actually could be a plane. And as some pilots have said, it could be a small plane. It doesn't have to be a big, 747. Some pilots have said they've had the laser beam pointed at them, and it scares the hell out of them and it affects their vision. So, John, what are they? Like, all right, tell me if I'm right about this. It has to be one of four things. Our government, a foreign government.
It's not a foreign government. There's no way there are drones from a foreign government flying around America without, there's 0% chance.
A U.S. citizen or a non-U.S. citizen? Like, am I right that it's...
It has to be. If nothing else, it's government-regulated. Like, there's no way this is happening and the government doesn't know anything about it.
And by the way, James, I don't know that it's not a foreign government.
No, there would be issues.
That's war. Of course there would be
issues.
That's
not what I'm saying.
I am well aware of that.
Yeah, I think it's...
All right, James, what is it?
I don't know. I think it's something government-related.
Could be foreign government. Wasn't there a balloon?
This is drones all over New York City and New Jersey. Like, there's no way.
My brother said they've been over our shore house, you know, and we're down in the Tuckerton area, yep. Right below LBI. Says he's seen plenty of them. You know,
so,
that's
John,
kinda,
what like, is know. It, John?
Magic.
Aliens.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think
it's some government
thing. The simplest answer is the government is checking
testing.
Up on nuclear capabilities in some capacity.
Well, it could be a private citizen. It could be a company.
No. Elon Musk.
If it's a company, the government knows about it, though. The point is the government isn't just letting drones fly
across. Well, whoever knows it isn't admitting it.
If it is the United States government, why would they do it in one of the most populated areas in the country? Like, that's the thing that doesn't really make
sense. Maybe because that's where they have to. If it is for, like, nuclear capabilities.
But they could do it in, like, New Mexico.
But then why not?
They have to do it with their people. They have to know what people react to.
All right, let's find out what Malvern Prep thinks. Malvern Prep, Ben Davis, what the hell is it?
I think it's the U.S. government. I mean, they've been above our house in Chad's Ford the last two nights.
And you haven't shot them down.
I have not.
No. I'm stunned by this.
I have not.
wanted to.
The thought has crossed my mind, Ray. Thought has crossed my mind.
Well, like, if anyone has an opinion, I mean, I'm just curious what it is.
Maybe a more educated opinion than us.